thank you for our children, Lord. We thank you for the blessing that they are. Lord, we thank you for their energy and their passion and their love. And Lord, we pray for the families. We pray for the parents and grandparents and guardians. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon them. Lord, we ask that you would give them strength and endurance. Lord, that you would give them joy. Joy in you, joy in their children, joy in their family. Lord, we thank you that we get to be together as the family of God. And so, Lord, as we come to your word today, I pray that we would be able to set aside the things in our minds and hearts that we need to, Lord. Father, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on in people's lives, Lord. We think of those who are hurting, who are sick, who are struggling, who are looking for work, Lord. Lord, we continue to lift up Jim's dad who fell. Lord, ask for your blessing upon him, ask for quick recovery. Lord, we ask for all of those who are not doing well, Lord, for those who have lost people that they love in their family and extended families, Lord, recently here, Lord, we ask that you would build them up and encourage them. Lord, we thank you that you are a God of mercy and grace. Lord, that you are holy and that you are powerful and that our strength is found in you alone, and that, Lord, you give us the encouragement and the joy to overcome the things of this world, and they are many. Lord, we thank you for each person here, Lord. May your word encourage them today. May it instruct us in where things in our lives need to change, in what areas we need to let go of, in what areas we need to grab hold of because you're calling us to. Father, we ask for your blessing. We ask that all distractions would be put aside. And Lord, anything that comes from me today, that it would be set aside and forgotten. And everything that comes from the truth of your word, Lord, that it would be remembered, held on to, enjoyed, and followed as we follow you, Lord. Bless this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're continuing in our series. And as we continue in the series, the acts of God through his church, we're really looking at what is it that we're called to be as a church? How do we be the church in a community that we're in? How do we be the gospel to the people around us at work, in our spheres of influence? How do we live in such a way that we are ambassadors for Christ? And now it was 2 weeks ago since we had the week break because of the weather. But as we continue on in this series, 2 weeks ago, we were looking at the man who was healed, who was by the gates, beautiful. And he had been crippled his life. And he was known by the people. And each day he came out and was asking and begging for help. And many times Jesus passed by because there was a time that was coming where the disciples would come and heal him. And after they did, there was quite a ruckus because everybody knew him. And when people see the power of God and they can't define it, they can't explain it away, there's a number of reactions people will have. One is, wow, what an amazing God. I need to find out more. How did this happen? And there's this being undone. Another thing that happens, and it's pretty common, is I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. I just don't bother me. I'm going to stay in my lane and I'm going to keep my eyes ahead. I don't want to see that kind of stuff. It makes me angry. And if miracles happen, as we see here, that can affect pocketbooks of those in power, there's a whole different response that can take place, and we're going to take a look at that today. So Peter has been preaching about, Peter and John, the one who made the healing of the lame man possible, Jesus, the promised Messiah, who was crucified and rose from the dead. And his message was effective. And here we find now Peter gets interrupted as he's sharing how this man was healed. Acts 4, starting in verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The church is growing. Remember, what happened at Pentecost? 3,000. Now 5,000. It's growing, and that's just the men that they counted by the numbers back then. There's more of women and children, and something's happening in the church. And the religious authorities learn, when they learn that Peter and John were preaching the resurrected Jesus, they called the temple guard and had them arrested. It's amazing to see the response. It's not, wow, look at what God did. It's, they did it in what name? In Jesus? No. Peter and John didn't encourage an overthrow of the Roman government. They didn't encourage something that was negative to the leaders there. They simply healed and proclaimed the healing in the name of Jesus Christ. You want to see a reaction in government? Bring Jesus Christ up. We have a world. Our laws were based on foundational truths of Scripture. And right now, we're getting further and further away from those biblical truths, and we're having more and more of those truths being challenged. And guys, you guys know, this is the pulpit. This is not a place to go over politics. And I am not somebody who easily goes into this topic of politics. And I'm not going to go into politics as we see it in our world today. But I do share it because there is a political world that we live in, isn't there? And I want to be encouraging us. Be praying for me this, because I want us to see our identity in the blood of Christ. I want us, as we look at the things of this world, the political challenges of this world, I don't want us to look at those as a Democrat, as a Republican, as an independent. As children of God, we are called to look at these things through the lens of the kingdom of God. And so we have brothers and sisters in Christ from all different backgrounds, from all different experiences, and we come together in what? In the name of Christ. And so, boy, whether you're progressive, a conservative, how do we say, how do I filter my understanding of this specific person or this specific law? How do I bring that in a way that is filtered through the Word of God? How do I allow the Scriptures to be where I base my understanding from, on what is right and what is wrong? Because I promise you, if you listen to me on my views of things, you're going to get a bunch of opinions. Some of them are right and some of them are wrong. And my opinions constantly change. How about you guys? But where do we go for the source of truth? We go to a place that is unchanging, to the Word of God. And God is unchanging. And so on each thing that comes before us, we don't say, I'm this or I'm that, unless it's, I'm a child of God. The Word of God in its original writings is without error. And so therefore, I'm going to see God's Word as what I filter this through, and I'm going to stand on this issue according to the truth of the Word of God. That's my prayer for all of us, that we not get lost in these identities that are of this world, but that we know that we are children of God. So let me ask this. Why was the message of Jesus resurrection, why was it so troubling to the religious and the political establishment of the day? With the authority, and I would say this, back to, you can mess with a lot of different things, but as soon as you start dealing with things that affect people's checkbooks, as soon as you get there, you're going to see what's in the heart of people. Because our finances are very close to the vest, right? Our finances, as soon as my belief affects what I do with my money, now I know there's something's really happening in my heart. And would the authorities seek to silence that message today? Just like they were back then. They were saying back then, you can't preach in the name, you can't say that the healing was in Jesus' name. And my question for us today is that happening in today's world? Are we as Christians having to take some heat for living out the truth of the Word of God in our everyday lives? And my response is, guys, there's a cost to following Jesus. There's a cost. And sometimes people respond positively to standing for the truths of Christ. But at other times, they don't. Here's the key. We should never have people respond negatively to the gospel because of how we bring the gospel. We don't bring the gospel rudely. We speak the truth. We are called to speak the truth in love. We are called to stand for truth, but to do it in a way that honors people and honors God. And so we value the people that we are speaking to. We value their opinions. We don't throw away their ideas. We receive them with respect, and we share where God has brought truth into our lives, into how we understand things, and why we believe what we believe because of the truth of the Word of God. And then here's an important part. We do it in humility, because you know what? The person who may need to change in the conversation is me. Because sometimes we can get caught up in, this is what I believe. Well, why do I believe it? And then as I bring it to the Word of God, oh, my stance on that needs to change. What does God's Word say here? We need to be willing to say, okay, I need to change my way of thinking because of what the Word of God says. And that requires humility. And in the heat of the moment, in the heat of an argument or a conversation that's a little warm, it's very hard to be humble, isn't it? Because we're passionate about what we know. We every Christmas, every Thanksgiving in the Shrek home, when we get the greater clan together, my goodness, some of those conversations can become a little heated. And I found myself at times being one of the people who sometimes brings some of the heat. And I've had to be humbled, and I've had to be, these last few times, things come up. God's, as I pray, do I say anything? I hear over and over, no. Is it more important to be right or to be loving? To be loving. And sometimes you say more by saying less. So here, more than a few hundred million Christians in our world today, more than a few hundred million Christians are persecuted around the world for their faith, are killed, are treated poorly, are put in prison, are beaten because of their faith. Guys, we live in America. What we see is not the norm. This is an experiment for the last 200 years, and it's created a world for us that much of the world doesn't comprehend. For them, being a Christian means being killed or persecuted. And it's happening in our world today, and sometimes in America, because it's out of sight, it's out of mind. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters who are struggling just to live out their faith. Some countries, if you honor Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's not the government, head of the government, and so therefore you can't honor Jesus because it's against the law. In Acts 4, we see that
that power, the powerful, what they found so concerning is that Jesus is risen. Why is that so concerning to those who are in authority here? Peter and John were preaching the risen Christ. And remember, the resurrection of Jesus was just 7 weeks earlier than this. So this is only 7 weeks. This isn't even 2 months later after the resurrection. And here they are preaching the good news of this risen Christ. The disciples had seen Jesus many times. Not just once. They had seen him multiple times. And for them, the problem of death had been answered. See, that's such an important thing. How do we respond to death? How does it affect us? Verse 5. The next day, the rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them, and they began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" They make it even more clear. They had done it in Jesus' name, and now they're bringing him in. They're bringing him before those in power. It's one thing to speak to the public, to the groups, to people. But when you're brought in before those who hold your freedom and your health in their hands, might be a little bit harder, huh? And they say, "By what power and what name?" Why were the authorities so angered and threatened by the preaching of Peter and John? This family was the ruling power of Jewish society. They were the ones who made the decisions. They were the powerful aristocrats who controlled the vast wealth of the temple court, of the temple. And so there's a lot of money to be made in what? Offerings for sins. Animals, ongoing offerings, including profitable monopolies with these animal sacrifices. This system was crucial to their wealth and their power. And so they see this Jesus as the answer to death. And what does that mean? He's the one and only sacrifice for sins. Death and sins have been conquered. Praise God for us. Their response should be, "Praise God." But it affects their pocketbook. Whew. So they're bringing the heat. And Peter and John are feeling that heat. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Guys, this is the important part. If you hear nothing else, hear this. Then Peter, as he moved forward in what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Before he moves forward, he hears from God. He's moved by God. As we have conversations with people, as we talk with people, pray first. Before we open our mouths and stick our foot in it, let's pray first so that we can speak the truth in love. Because I know when I pray first, all of a sudden I'm not seeing the person as my adversary by the words that they're saying. I'm seeing them as one who is important to God, one who God has called me to love with truth, but dignity and honor. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." This is obviously not the same fearful fisherman who had denied Jesus Christ 3 times just 7 weeks earlier. Something had happened to Peter. Just think about it. 7 weeks earlier, he was hiding and running, and he had followed Jesus farther than the other disciples. And then when he gets pushed, when he gets recognized and says, "Aren't you with Jesus?" right before Jesus is crucified. "I never knew him. I'm not that man." Three times he denied him. And now he's right in the midst of it, 7 weeks later, and he's standing up in authority, but not his own. He's being moved by the Holy Spirit. God is speaking through him, and he's speaking the truth of God. It's amazing the difference of what's happened to Peter, and it's Christ in him. What has made such a difference in the Apostle Peter? The Holy Spirit, God himself. The Holy Spirit. Christ is in us as believers. And so now he's as bold as a lion. He's just got this pleasure in speaking the truth, no matter the cost. Peter goes on to quote Psalms 118:22, saying, "The stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." Peter shows these religious rulers from their own scriptures that the psalmist predicted the resurrection of Jesus. So he goes back to Psalms. The people he's speaking to are what? They're Jewish people. And so he's saying to them, look to the Psalms. Look to your own scriptures, our own scriptures. It predicts, it shows us that Christ will be crucified and resurrected. We see that over and over in Isaiah, don't we? Isaiah 54, 55, 56, promise after promise of what's going to happen with the Messiah. Over and over, what's going to happen? He's going to have to suffer and die, and he'll be raised again. The scriptures of the Old Testament speak about it, and here Jesus was the fulfillment of those scriptures. And so Peter is bringing those who are in authority back to the truth of this was talked about in the scriptures. We've known it was coming, and he's here. Peter shows the religious leaders from the scriptures the truth. And then in verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Guys, this is startling. It's not Jesus is a name to bring hope and joy. It's there's no other name. This is a startling declaration. There's no other source of salvation than Jesus Christ. No other name, not Buddha, not Gandhi, not Joseph Smith, not you fill in the blank. Not any other name. Are there good people who do good things? Yes. Should we respect them and honor them? Yes. But there is no other name that saves. And guys, that's the hard message for those. Think about how you were before you came to Christ Jesus. Most of you in this room know Jesus personally. He's your Lord and Savior. Think of how you thought of Jesus before you came to faith. A good man, a good teacher. But that good teacher claimed to be the Messiah, claimed to be God, so he can't be good if he's a liar. He can't be good if he's crazy and thinks he is God and he's not, but he's just a lunatic. Or remember the liar, lunatic, Lord? It's one of those three. But he claimed to be the Messiah. So we have to say, was he crazy? Was he full of it? Or was he who he said he was? Because if it's true that he's the Messiah, that changes everything. It changes everything. No other faith has solved the problem of death. We are set free in Christ, guys. We are set free in Christ. Not only is death conquered, but sin is conquered, and we don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. Praise God, we don't have to be slaves to sin. As one of the things I've I'm not going to share because I didn't ask for permission, but I've heard a number of testimonies from people this week of how Jesus met them, how they, in their brokenness, came and found faith in Christ. And every time I hear it, it moves me because it's the greatest miracle of all. For hearing how God broke somebody's defenses down, reached into the pit as far as needed to reach down and grab them out. Guys, we are no longer victims of death or sin. We are free in Christ. And I promise you one thing, that freedom is terrifying to those who don't understand it. And the power, that power of the rulers, of the tyrannical rulers, of rulers, that they quake in their boots. It says, there's no other name by which we must be saved. How do you respond to that outside of faith? You either push it down to get rid of it, or you receive it. But guys, we need to do, I really believe this, not we specifically as just as this church, but the church as a whole, we need to stand better for truth, more loving and more committed. We need to be willing in love to have those harder conversations. And I promise you there's a cost to following Jesus. I promise you there's a cost. And some people will receive it, and they will go from spiritual life, death to spiritual life. They will see Christ and receive him and praise God. Others, seeds will be planted. Other seeds might be planted while they're cursing you. I've had certain people, I tell you, my 10-year reunion was so exciting. I've had my, 30-year reunion, but my 10-year was pretty cool because as I went, I found out a lot of people who weren't Christians when I was in high school. And we had a lot of kids. We had over 100 kids in my senior year come to Christ because a lot of the leaders of the school, on the football team, on the basketball team, had become serious about their faith. And it just, man, it was amazing. But a bunch of people didn't. And then even at my 30th, I found out one of the young ladies who I'd known, who was a good friend, not only had she become a Christian, but I hadn't seen her at the 10 or 20, but she was a pastor's wife. And I was like, that is so cool. God continues to move and work. And I remember one conversation where one of the guys, he said, thanks for standing. Thanks for standing. I was like, what did I do? I don't remember. But sometimes just living out your faith is enough. We need to be willing to live out our faith in ways that will stand against the lies of the enemy, the lies of the flesh, the lies of the world. We need to be willing to stand, and not just back in the day. We need to do it today. We need to do it today. Verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. I love that. Unschooled and ordinary. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But, isn't it amazing? They took note of that, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. You see, they have to go against reason. They have to go against reason. We've seen what this man was and where he is now. And there's no explanation for it except what they're saying. But they can't, when you are not willing to be humbled before God and his truth, reason has to exit because you've got to give a reason that you can define, and it's amazing what we can come up in this world to define the miraculous. We will go to unbelievable stupidity to define the works of God. And we've been doing it for an awfully long time. These men obviously prided themselves on being logical, rational thinkers. But this account shows that they were completely self-deceived. Because they had to be. Otherwise, they had to humble themselves before God. Verse 17. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. I love Peter's response. Remember, 7 weeks earlier, Peter's hiding, running. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? Guys, that's a question that we have before us today. Because I promise you, if you stand for truth in your spheres of influence, family, friends, work, you're going to take heat. You're going to have a lot of people who mock you, a lot of people who look at you differently, a lot of people who will just kind of mentally excuse you as one of those Christians. There's a cost to following Christ. But we're called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're called, remember, this world is not our home. This is not what we're living. The reason that all of us, including us Christians, feel like there's got to be something more is because there is. We were created for more than this world. Praise God. Because no matter how good things go, when you get the new car, it gets in an accident. It gets rusted. It gets old. When you get the desires of your heart, you look at some of the most famous people of the world who've achieved more than they ever could have imagined. Some of them take their own lives. Others turn to all kinds of stuff to get away from the pain. What pain? You've got everything you want. No, they don't. No, they don't, because they're just like us. No matter what we gain, there's got to be something more. Praise God, there is. And it is found in Jesus Christ. And it is the kind of truth that sets us free and gives us life for eternity in him. We're to stand for God's truth over man's truth. The truth of the word over man's law. So guys, there's a time to stand. To do it respectfully, to do it in honor, but to stand. So let's finish it up. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. You see, what are they going back to? They're saying, this is nothing new to us. This is true to our fathers before us. This is true with our father David. This is true with here. This is true here. This is true here. And it's true with us. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. You see, God's sovereignty is shocking because God works in the midst of people plotting against him. Guys, when we see things happening and we say to ourselves, how could God allow this? What is God thinking? God is saying, I've got it, guys. Have faith in me. Have the kind of faith that when you see confusion and chaos, you understand you're underneath the tapestry of junk. But God sees the beautiful tapestry from above. I love that from Ravi Zacharias. But guys, we've got to have that trust that God's vision is greater than ours, that his understanding is greater than ours, that we have a hope which is found in him and in him alone. So as they've shared with the people, there's all this excitement. And then the last few verses that we're covering today. Now, Lord, consider their hearts and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Remember, they were told, shut up. Shut up. Now, those are words we can't say in our house. Those are the bad words. You don't say the shut up words. They were told. So parents of young ones, I'm sorry if I, sorry, whoops. But they were told, no, you can't speak anymore in Jesus' name. Be quiet. Now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. I love that. What had happened just a little while earlier at Pentecost? This is just a little reminder, just a little shaken. Hey, do you remember Pentecost? Remember the power of God? Where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. See, that's what shakes. What causes people to move and shake is when, and I'm not just talking physical, I'm talking about in power. I'm talking about God move people to bring change and transformation to communities. We don't bring transformation to communities by government of this world. If that's all it is, it's something that's just going to help for a little while. But we do good things in the name of what? Jesus. Of who? Jesus. And so we get involved in Christ's name to bring the kind of change that is eternal change. Guys, eternal change is more important than physical change. Someone's soul is more important than a healed leg. And if we truly believe that, now we help people physically in the name of Jesus Christ. We help people emotionally, relationally in the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's where the true healing, eternal healing, is found. And I love this one thing that we get from this last part. God uses opposition for his purpose. Here they were, these leaders, the creme de la creme, the people in power, and they were going to stop this. They were going to shut it down. And instead, what happens? The people of God, this church of 5,000, this growing church, is then encouraged. Why? Because not even these people in power can shut down Christ. And even somebody who's as afraid a few weeks earlier as Peter was is now as bold as we are feeling in Christ. That changes. Now, there's a place to go. I don't have to live in fear anymore. Guys, we don't have to live in fear anymore. Is there an area of your life where you're living in fear? If that's true, that means the lie of the enemy, Satan's lie, has found a footing in your mind and heart. But in Christ, you can say to that fear, no, I'm a child of God. Maybe what happened to me when I was a child, that's not my identity. I'm a child of God now. And I replace that lie from the enemy. My nickname growing up, one of my nicknames was Stupid. It's a lie from the pit of hell. I don't have to live that lie out anymore. I lived in fear all growing up, terrified. I don't have to be in fear anymore. I'm free in Christ. And the things that used to set me back and just, now I get to step forward boldly. Not in my strength, because in my strength I'm undone. In my strength, I step forward as a 12-year-old boy in that same fear. But in Christ, I step forward as a child of God. I step forward in a new identity in Christ. I step forward in victory, in truth, and in power, in a way that blesses and doesn't hurt the people around me, in a way that has gentleness and seeks the well-being of others. I don't become the tyrant myself, because in myself, I become the tyrant to overcome the tyrant. That's the flesh. In Christ, I become the servant to overcome the tyrant in Christ's power working through me. Praise God, guys, we're not to live in fear anymore. So the areas of your life where God's saying, give me this area. We all have them, guys. If you don't think you do, it's just because sin has so gotten a hold that you're unaware of your sin. And that's a scary place to be. Praise God as God reveals our sins of pride, of lust, of anger, of fear, as he reveals those things so that we can then be free and whole in Christ. God's got a plan for us, guys. He's got a plan, and he's got a way for us to step forward in ways that bless the people around us and glorify God, and where God will receive the glory. And we get, there's nothing more humbling than being used by God. Because what happens? You realize, I did nothing. God moved and he even used me. Even me. How is that possible that he used even me? Because you are a child of God. You are a new creation in Christ. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God is in you. And now you move forward in faith. And he will do things that blow you away. Little things that blow you away. Everyday things that will blow you away. And how's that possible? That's Christ in you. Praise God. He is moving, just like he's always moved. He's always been in control. He's always had one plan. It's not plan B. It's not plan C. We're in God's original plan. And he is unchanging. And we have a new identity in him. And if you don't know Jesus yet as your Lord and Savior, guys, this is information you're hearing about. Don't be like those in power who hear about it and explain it away. If it's true, be willing to say, God, if this is true, show me. Pray that prayer. At least pray that prayer. God, if what the pastor is saying is true, if it's not just his words, if it's your words, show me that truth personally. Because if you pray that prayer, if you seek God with your soul, with your heart, with your mind, if you seek truth, God will show you truth. He will show you himself, and he will bring eternal life. Praise God. Do we believe it? Do you know it? Let's go live it. Let's go live it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good. You use even us. Lord, thank you that in our brokenness, in our human weakness, your power is seen. Your power is experienced. Father, we pray for more and more areas of our lives to be submitted to you. Lord, that we would find freedom in areas right now where we're bound to sin. Because we're living according to the lie rather than the truth of who we are in you. Father, You know each one of us. You know what we need. We give you ourselves. Lord, I pray that each one would deal with one thing before you this week. Just one. The one that you've put on their mind and heart right now. The one that you're speaking to them about right now, Lord. And Lord, that it would not be a battle that's fought in the power and strength of the flesh, but it would be a battle that is fought in the heavenly realms. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against the authorities and the powers of this world, but our struggle is against the evil forces, Satan and his demonic forces. And you have found victory over those forces through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And you have... are preparing a place for us to be with you in, through eternity in perfect relationship with you and with each other. Lord, may we value each other knowing that we get to spend eternity together. May we lift each other up in your strength, in your truth and your love. May we seek not winning fights and winning arguments, but may we seek loving others in the way that you love us. May we be quick to forgive, slow to anger. Lord, use us for your glory. Thank you that we have a new identity in you. Do a mighty work through your people here, Lord, in families, in friends, at the workplace, even with enemies, Lord. May those enemies become children of God. May we see you move in ways that we can't begin to define or understand. But Lord, I just pray that we would hold on with both hands as the ride goes forward, because it is quite a ride, following you. It is a true adventure, and we pray that that adventure would be immense. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.